Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
All righty. The great Pat Boyle is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network in his weekly spot. We know Pat Boyle is very, very, very flexible, and we appreciate him being flexible today with us as we were talking to Emmett Johnson at 3:20 p.m. Eastern Time. And Boyle, since he's a team player, when I think of team players, I think of Pat Boyle. And Pat said, Zach, no problem. You don't want to do back-to-back guests. I could come on right at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So, Pat, usually we throw some jabs at one another in this conversation. I'll give you a compliment and say thank you for being flexible today. And how are you on this beautiful Wednesday?
How about that, Zach? That's great, man. You are capable of niceties. I appreciate that. And let me say that.
Are you all right? Are you a little sick? You need a little chicken soup? You sound a little sick there.
No, baby. This voice does not take any days off. This voice is booming. Hell, how about that? It's got to project a little bit more. That's the broadcasting voice. There we go.
You're like Bill Belichick. No days off. No days off.
Yeah, you know, we're on to Wake Forest. That's all I'm worried about. We're on to Zach's show.
It's actually just Wake. He hasn't even said the forest part, just like how he called UCF Central earlier in the year. All righty. Let's have some fun here right out of the gate. You have been a Justin Fields sycophant. The New York Jets last week got their second win of the season. You would assume the quarterback would play well, but he didn't. He was 6 of 11 for 54 yards passing, a touchdown and an interception. Oh, so Justin Fields must have went off on the ground. He only had 28 yards rushing. Are you willing to give up hope on Justin Fields? Or are you going to continue to just wave the flag in the air and be like, you are the number one Justin Fields fan?
I'm not going to give up hope. I do think now, after what the Jets did at the trade deadline last week, that it's almost a certainty that they're going to be drafting a quarterback in the offseason. And so I just don't know if Justin Fields fits in those plans. You know, I guess at this point, in terms of him being able to be a franchise quarterback, I guess my hope is that he stays on the roster next year. He is under contract for 2 years, and that they don't just gift the starting job over to whoever the Jets draft. But no, look, I mean, I thought it was a conservative approach from the Jets, and it worked. They got the special teams touchdowns. Breece Hall had a great game, and the Jets defense did enough to win them their second game. And so wins aren't a quarterback stat. There's been a couple games this year where Justin Fields has played tremendous and they lost. And so for him to not play that well and only throw 11 passes and they win, it is what it is.
All right, yeah. 30th in passing yards, 30th in passing touchdowns, 30th in QBR. But, yeah, he's been tremendous this year. All righty, let me ask you about your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think this is their last test in the regular season if they beat Pitt. Barring just a catastrophic letdown in their final two games of the season, they'll be in the college football playoff. The confidence meter for one Patty Boyle on his Notre Dame Fighting Irish going to Pitt and beating Pitt this weekend is what?
10 out of 10.
Oh.
10 out of 10. I got a lot of respect for what Pat Narduzzi has done at Pitt and how well they've played this year, but I mean, let's be honest, this is a game that Notre Dame probably wins by double digits, and they're going to coast to the playoff. And, you know, it just stinks. It stinks that they lost both of those games to Miami and A&M by a combined 4 points. Because if not, I think the conversation around Notre Dame is a lot different. You know, they're on their way to 11-1, and they're probably in the top five in the college football playoff. So, yeah, assuming they win out, you know, that they'll probably get a top eight seed because, you know, Bama's got to play Oklahoma. Texas has to play Georgia. A&M's got to play some really tough games down the stretch. So, you know, one or even, you know, two teams slip up ahead of Notre Dame, and they're almost certainly going to be hosting a first-round game in the college football playoff. I don't know if a top four seed is possible, though. They would have to have a lot of chaos. But, look, I mean, last year, you know, they had to do it the hard way, and they did, getting to the national championship game. So I know you love some Jeremiah Love. I love some Jeremiah Love. Everybody loves some Jeremiah Love. And, you know, and the quarterback play they've gotten out of C.J. Carr has actually been
a lot
better. It's been a lot better as the season has gone on. And, you know, they've had a lot of injuries to that offensive line. And so his progression in his first year as a starting quarterback, I think, has been really, really good. And look, Marcus Freeman pulled the rabbit out of his hat last year in December and January. I'm pretty confident that they can do it again. It all just depends on what teams they'll be matched up against in the college football playoff. But 10 out of 10 that they handle Pitt this weekend.
How long do you think Marcus Freeman will be the coach at Notre Dame? Is there any fear that one day, and maybe soon, with you know the way that people just love to throw his name out there, that Marcus Freeman could leave the Irish?
I think it's always possible. I mean, I look at Marcus Freeman as a guy that is very ambitious. And so if the NFL does come calling, I think he would be absolutely interested in hearing a phone call, depending on what team it comes from. But I think he's probably got that job at Notre Dame as long as he wants.
Yeah.
At the present, you know, at the present moment, like, you know, again, one season of going 7-5 could change everything, but they once again start 0-2, a bad start to the season, and he has the boys rallied. They've battled injuries, and they've taken care of all the teams that have been that are in front of them. And so I think that this is a guy that has built a really good program. He does a tremendous job recruiting, does a great job in the transfer portal, and with what he's got, I think Notre Dame, there's that baseline that they have to get to, and I think he's been able to accomplish that despite some thinking last year after losing to Northern Illinois that they wouldn't. But I think he's got the job as long as he wants.
I think the only way he leaves Notre Dame, I could see two situations. Somehow, if Ohio State opens, right? If let's say Ryan Day wants to go to the NFL, or if Marcus Freeman goes to the NFL himself. Outside of that, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you know, LSU may want him, or Penn State may want him, or Florida may want him, you know. We want a lot, like, I want a six pack. Pat Boyle wants a Big Johnson, right? there's a lot of things that people want in life. It doesn't mean just because you want them, you're going to get them.
Yes. Well, I will
say that to you, by the way, because that just got, you know, it's kind of your style, I feel like. You know, you try to be one of those shock jocks at times.
You took the words out of my mouth, Zach, and, you know, for once, I'll let you be the shock jock here. I'll keep it PG, but, yeah, look, I mean, think about the situation Notre Dame's in. Until if and when they join a conference, there's always a path for them to get to the college football playoff. They are Notre Dame. As much as I hate when people use that as a negative, it is a positive. And so they're the only team that has a national network deal, right, with NBC yeah. and Peacock. They're always going to be America's college football team. I think there is so much of a risk making a lateral move for Marcus Freeman to another school. I just don't see it. You know, like you said, maybe Ohio State, whereas he's going from Notre Dame to a program that's even slightly above. There's not many programs can say that. Ohio State right now is one of them. But yeah,
I think school too.
Exactly. I think Marcus Freeman's going to be there a long time.
Okay. Pat Boyle, Bill Belichick here at UNC. Do you think I have any chance to, you know, be the next HC of the NYG?
Yeah, I talked about this on my show earlier this morning. And I think he's a realistic candidate. As much as I've made my plea, I want Clint Kubiak to be the next Giants head coach, offense coordinator of the Seahawks. I think he has done a tremendous job. I thought he was doing a great job with the Saints last year. Remember, they scored 91 points in the first two games, and then that whole roster got crushed by injuries. You had the Derek Carr situation. I think he has taking Sam Darnold's play to the next level. Everybody in the world knows Jackson Smith and Jigba's getting the ball 12 times a game every Sunday, and yet he's always wide open. That scheme, that's the classic Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, outside run zone scheme, heavy play action that Clint has used to near perfection this year with Seattle. So I want Clint, but it's hard to ignore the ties between him and the Giants, the Super Bowl years as the defensive coordinator, the Venn diagram that has him, Bill Parcells, and Joe Shane connected, because Joe Shane was hired by Parcells to be a scout in Miami years ago. And so there's going to be, like, Joe Shane feels like he could easily make a desperate move to hire Bill Belichick, but also at the same time, as desperate as it may seem, he's got 6 Super Bowl titles. He's second all-time in NFL wins. Like, as desperate as it looks after the last couple years have played out, and also in many ways, it is a safe hire to go to give Bill Belichick the keys to the Giants and say, you're not running the franchise, right? You're going to work in collaboration. You're going to have to lean on a more modern approach, lean on more analytics than you're used to. But in terms of just being the head coach, I still think Bill Belichick will get a shot this year to interview with the Giants. He's really only had one chance the last couple years. It was with Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you can make the argument, if the Falcons hired him instead of Raheem Morris,
oh, they're probably a playoff team.
Could they be in a worse spot? Probably not. So
yeah, trust me. No one has gotten into more fights with Falcons fans over this stuff than me. I even had Arthur Blank on the show, and I was asking him about it right when it didn't happen. We were down at the Super Bowl. So I think this is the interesting part in what you bring up. Belichick could put on the front, just like he was trying to put on Atlanta, yeah, I'll work with Terry Fontenot. I'll work with Joe Shane. And then you're there for a year, and if the results are fine on the field, you could then go make a case, no, I need more power, get rid of Shane or get rid of Fontenot. So I think Belichick, I'm not saying he'll play nice, but he could put on the front that he will play nice, because if he doesn't get a job this cycle, he'll never be an NFL head coach again.
I agree with you. I agree. And obviously the situation going on right now with John Mara battling cancer is something to monitor. And so, is that something where John Mara, maybe if he does hire Bill Belichick in a year from now, Bill tells him, hey, fire Joe Shane, let me have control. Like, is that a desperate move that maybe John Mara makes in a year from now? No idea. But I think out of all the candidates that are going to be up for the Giants job this year, current coordinators, past NFL head coaches, like the John Grudens, the Lane Kiffins of having the relationship with Jackson Dart, like we're fooling ourselves if we don't think that no matter how we feel about Bill Belichick, he is a realistic candidate for the job.
All righty, just yes or no, would you be interested if you're John Mara, if Pat Boyle is John Mara? We already did Kubiak, we already did Belichick. Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I'd be interested. He's a guy that's had proven success with the Dallas Cowboys now, as you know, and won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. So you got a Super Bowl champion, and you got a guy that consistently got to the playoffs with Dallas. And I think that's one of the safer conservative hires. And so I would be interested in having him in for an interview for sure.
Spags, would you hire him?
No. I think ultimately I would hire Spags as a DC. I want an offensive-minded head coach. I think that's the most important thing for the New York Giants, right? And so I said what I said about Belichick, him being a defensive guy, though. I think you need an offensive-minded head coach that's going to call the plays and work in tandem and be attached to Jackson Dart. With the identity of this Giants team is the offense. It's Dart, it's Malik Nabers, it's Scadaboo, it's Theo Johnson. I think you need an offensive-minded head coach to bring that to fruition.
Yeah, but here's a part where I disagree on that. It's like if I told you could get Mike Vrabel, you would get it, take him in a second. Even Mike McDonald, who's defensive-minded head coach now with the Seahawks, he's been good the first 2 years. I wouldn't get too caught up. Like, it's easy to say. I understand in an ideal world, sure, you want a head coach that's like O'Connell or is like McVay that knows the offense side of the ball. You develop a young quarterback in Jackson Dart. To me, the number one prerequisite would just be, and I know this sounds very simple, a guy that's a player's coach but not a doormat. And if he happens to be that on the defensive side of the ball, I would then think a guy like that could hire a fine enough offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can kind of play this both ways where it's, okay, what's the identity of head coach? And if it's defense, well, then you need a great offense coordinator. If it's an offense, all right, well, you need a great defense coordinator because the Giants have been utterly atrocious and choke artists when it comes to the fourth quarter this year, losing all 4 games on the road when they've had double-digit leads. So I think you can go both ways with it. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, you want a coach that has a proven track record of winning. And I think that's going to shine through probably more than most other things.
And then last thing, just in terms of the Giants search, is Pat Boyle is here with us at his weekly spot. Offensive-minded guy, he's been a head coach in the league before. Now with the Commanders last 2 years, would Cliff Kingsbury be of interest of you.
No. I've seen Cliff Kingsbury, another guy that starts out great when his time with Texas Tech with Mahomes, and his time with Arizona with Kyler Murray, and then the second half of the year almost always goes to crap. So Cliff Kingsbury, good OC, not a head coach for my team anytime soon.
And by the way, Pat Boyle, I do a picks competition with him each and every Friday morning on his show. I record a little segment, and then they play it, and we go back and forth. They had a 4-game lead, then a 3-game lead, then a 2-game lead. I'm down to a 1-game lead, Pat Boyle. So things are starting to heat up here in the final few weeks of the season.
Yeah, and if style points accounted for anything,
which they look, don't.
There was a ton of people that were wrong on Buffalo, but I did have the Dolphins plus 9.5. You had Buffalo minus 9.5. So the head-to-head, I think I've won almost every time we've been head-to-head in our picks competition. But look, I told you it'd be tied by Thanksgiving, and I might be cutting my Zach Gelb Thanksgiving lasagna a little bit earlier this week because we're probably going to be tied, or I'll be in the lead after this weekend.
Now, all I will say is we are investigating you around here. It would not have mattered, but you had a very Fugazi spread last week. I didn't see Ravens 3.5 in any book. I saw it was 4.5 in basically every other book. And then also, I'm calling the FBI. You know, Chauncey Billups involved in something. Ortiz and Class A involved in something. I don't know. There's some shady business with you, Shady Pat Boyle, going on behind the scenes. And I may have people start to investigate this. I may be calling my dear friend Pete the Body Bilotti to start a little investigation on you.
Yeah, let me say this. If I was operating in an illegal gambling ring, I promise I still wouldn't be doing the overnight show, Monday through Friday. I'd probably be in a much cozier spot. Yeah, I'm laundering money through my overnight show.
You sound like a guy that if I'm drawing up a playbook on how to deny it, this would be the playbook on how to deny it. I'm not saying you're guilty of anything, Pat. I'm just saying, it's a little shady, the business that's going on around here.
Yeah, damned if I do, damned if I don't. Yeah, look, the Ravens, it was minus 3.5 at 5:30 in the morning on Friday morning. And so if you need me, you need that extra layer of security. If you're so worried that you're going to choke away your lead that you had a couple of weeks ago, I guess I can start sending you screenshots of the sports book on when I make the picks.
It's not that I'm worried. It's just I'm a man of honor. I'm a man.
You're questioning my integrity.
Of honest. I am questioning your integrity. I'm just saying it's something we have garbage to look into. I'm not saying you are a liar. I'm not saying you are a bum. I'm not saying you are a fraud. I'm just saying I got to just investigate here to see if some of the rumors, you know, I'm a hard hat guy now. I'm going to steal Marash's stick that you always steal. I'm a hard hat guy. I'm a locker room leader around here. And people are coming up to me. They're saying, hey, here Boyle's cheating in this pick competition. So I'm not accusing you. I'm just looking into it. That's all.
Yeah, maybe we should have Stu or Samter right now check your palms because they sound awfully sweaty right now. That's the excuses are already being built in.
I'm this nervous about losing to you.
The excuses are already being built in, Zach.
Man, I would love to flip you off right now on the camera, but I think I'd get in trouble for that. Anyway, he is the great Pat Boyle joining us on the Infinity Sports Network and the Zach Gelb Show in his weekly spot. Make sure you listen to him tonight from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, where he'll lie to you about a bunch of spreads in the gambling world. Pat, thank you.
Yeah, real nice, Zach. Have a good one.
There he is, Pat Boyle. All right, we'll take a break. When we come on back, we will do a little Take 5 Wednesday when we return in 5 minutes.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top 5 NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, Take 5 Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll give you my top 5 teams of the NFL and college football. Let's start with the easier one first. It's college. I think I've had the same college results for the last 3 weeks now, and I'm not going to change them. Georgia right now is in at 5. I loved a few weeks ago in mid-October the way that Georgia came back in that fourth quarter up against Ole Miss. We saw their comeback back in September against Tennessee. Their only loss was 3 points to Alabama, who's one of the best teams in the country. And not that Mississippi State is some great team, but Georgia just smothered Mississippi State over the weekend by a final score of 41-21. Is Georgia a great team this year? I wouldn't say that, but they could still win the SEC. We questioned them last year. They still won the SEC before losing coming off a bye in the college football playoff to Notre Dame, but Georgia is in at 5. In at number 4, it's the Alabama Crimson Tide. After losing to Florida State, forget about Louisiana Monroe, forget about Wisconsin, right? Their two victories against them. But they haven't lost a game since losing their first game of the season to Florida State. Since then, they beat all these teams in this gauntlet. Georgia at Georgia, Vanderbilt at Missouri, Tennessee at South Carolina, and then LSU. The defense has been unbelievable, even with some injuries on the offensive side of the ball at the running back and wide receiver position. Ty Simpson is playing as good as at the quarterback position as anybody has been in the country. And you have one more tough game, or potentially tough game, for Alabama in the regular season. They do play Oklahoma this weekend, and then you do get Eastern Illinois and then Auburn. So it's looking like Alabama should be, you know, maybe they can be an upset alert this week, but they should be 11-1 going into that SEC championship game. All righty, if they are there. Let's go to A&M. A&M is in at 3. I was impressed with their performance up against Mizzou. I was impressed by them before that. It was kind of right around when they beat Mississippi State. I said to myself, this could be a team that's undefeated in the regular season. And here we are. They are 9-0 with 3 games left. They should beat South Carolina. They should beat Samford. And you have a good game at the end of the season at Austin up against Texas. That is a Black Friday game at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ABC. A&M, you could argue, they're the most complete team in the country. You could argue it. I'm not saying there aren't other people that are in the conversation, but Marcel Reed is a very good quarterback. Whether it's Owens or Moss or Reed running the ball himself, they do so much on the ground. Concepcion, Craver, and Bethel Roman are good wide receivers when they're healthy. And defensively, this team has done a really good job in the SEC, and I like Mike Elko. So A&M is in at 3. In at number 2, it's Ohio State, who is 9-0. I think that we're all looking forward to, assuming that Ohio State doesn't lose to Michigan at the end of the year, because they have UCLA and Rutgers before that. I think we're all looking forward to that Ohio State-Indiana Big Ten championship game, because in at number 1 are the Hoosiers of Indiana. I know that Ohio State fans are going to say, but Zach, Ohio State played Penn State. That's a common opponent. Ohio State beat Penn State 38-14. Indiana had to win in a last-second touchdown, 27-24. Well, Indiana also played Illinois. Indiana won 63-10. You played Illinois, Ohio State fans. It was 34-16. So you can play that game both ways. I know that 34-16 is still a sizable margin, but there are games like that where the results don't always go in your favor. But the reason why I put Indiana 1 is that I look at who Indiana beat this year and who Ohio State beat this year. I'm not taking anything away from the Texas game in the beginning of the season, but the best win between Ohio State and Indiana is Indiana at Oregon, you know, at Eugene, up against the Ducks. Ohio State this year's beat Texas, Grambling, Ohio, Washington, Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, Penn State, Purdue. Indiana is taking care of Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Illinois, Iowa, at Oregon, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Penn State. Oregon's the best team in either one of those schedules, so that's a tiebreaker for me. Indiana is 10-0. Ohio State is 9-0. So Georgia 5, Alabama 4, A&M 3, Ohio State 2, Indiana, the Hoosiers, in at 1. Michael Samter Moise. Mike, you could speak now or forever hold your Samter peace.
What about the new number 6 team in the country, according to the CFP, Texas Tech?
So I thought about Texas Tech. That was the team that I sat and I deliberated on, and I said, can I put Texas Tech in front of Georgia? And the reason why I did not is if Georgia and Texas Tech played tomorrow, I would make Georgia a favorite. And don't get me wrong, what Texas Tech is doing this year, they are meeting the expectations that were set out before the start of the season. Whether it's Hammond, whether it's Morton, they're getting production out of the quarterback play. Joe McGuire is a phenomenal coach. I didn't love what he said about Notre Dame, if I'm being honest. But Dickey did a really good job on the ground last week. Their defense is the story with Rodriguez and Bailey. But with that being said, their best win of the season is BYU. You know, nothing wrong about that. I just think Georgia plays better competition, having to beat Tennessee, only losing to Alabama by 3 points, beating Ole Miss in a game where they had to rally in the fourth quarter. So I just think Georgia has played better teams, and I think Georgia would slightly, not by a blowout, slightly beat Texas Tech if they played tomorrow.
Can you just remind me, who did Texas Tech's lone loss come to?
It did come to Arizona State.
Let's go, baby. I got to insert them every way I can. How about the team that was number six? Now they moved down to number seven. That's Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin.
It's a loss to Georgia. They should have beat Georgia. I thought Ole Miss was going to beat Georgia. They were like a seven-point dog. I plused them on the 7 points. They had that lead going into the fourth. They didn't even, you know, lose and keep it within the number. Losing in the fourth quarter to Georgia is why they're not in front of Georgia. That one's easy.
Okay, that's pretty easy. Let's go with Stu's Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
You got to beat someone. Like, don't get me wrong. Notre Dame played Navy. Navy's quarterback wasn't there. Notre Dame played USC. You know, USC, I don't think, is this unbelievable team this year. You played Miami, you played A&M. You only lost by a combined 4 points. Nothing to be embarrassed about. You play Pitt this week. I think you're going to the college football playoff, but this isn't take 10. This is take 5. Do I think Notre Dame's formed him in the top 5 at the end of the season with Carr, assuming the defense is actually improved? Like, we think it's improving. We think it's good. I think it's getting better, but let's see what they do when they get in the college football playoff, assuming that they are there, and I do think they will be there. Price and Love is the best running back duo in the country, but just not losing another game doesn't put you in the top 5. It puts you in the top 12. It puts you in the college football playoff, but not in the top 5 right now.
Okay, now we're looking at the Texas Longhorns.
Georgia and A&M still on that schedule. I'm not taking the bait yet with Texas. They lose to Ohio State. They lose to Florida since then. Give them credit. They beat Oklahoma. The quarterback, Mateer, should have never played in that game. All right. You came back against Mississippi State. You need overtime for Kentucky. And then you beat Vanderbilt and you almost blew that game. Texas is improving. Texas is better. They're not in the top 5 yet. If they beat Georgia this weekend, it could be a different conversation. But do I think that they're going to beat Georgia this weekend? I do not. They could still make the playoff, and a 3-loss SEC team could still get in, and it could be Texas, but Texas is going to have to beat either Georgia or A&M. They got to get one. They won't get both. The question remains to me if they could even get one. We'll see how much Arch Manning did grow up in those games over the next 3 weeks.
And last one, I know it was ugly, but they did beat a ranked Iowa team that's a tough out on the road. What about Oregon?
It's the same thing, right? Their biggest test of the season, they lost to Indiana and they were home. Who else did Oregon beat? Montana State, Oklahoma State, Northwestern, Oregon State. They beat Penn State, Goodwin at the time. Rutgers, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Like, I think Oregon's very good. They could be a national championship contender, but I don't think they could say that they're in the top 5 until they take care of business in the postseason. And going to Iowa and almost losing that game at Iowa does not make me elevate them back into the top 5. Alrighty, let's go to the NFL. For the first time this year, I am putting my guys, the New England Patriots, in the top 5. They have 2 of the best wins in football this season, where they beat the Buffalo Bills and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, both on the road. The Patriots are 8-2. Give me the Pats in at number 5. Also in at 8-2 are the Indianapolis Colts. Daniel Jones has had some turnovers as of late. It did cost them the game up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It did not cost them the game up against the Atlanta Falcons. But when you're 8-2 and you got, Jonathan Taylor, the way that he's playing at the running back position, they go into bye week, then they play Kansas City. That's going to be a massive game. The Colts are deserving to be in the top 5. Then in at number 3, I don't know if there's a team in football this year. Like, the Pats are definitely there. But the Seahawks are so damn impressive to me. That front on the defense is sensational. And then offensively, Sam Darnold's playing some good football right now. And just for this season only, there's not a better receiver in the NFL right now than JSN in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So I put the Seahawks in at number 3. The Rams are in at number 2. Mac Jones played well for the 49ers. The Rams still rolled them. So I put the Rams in at number 2, and I think they're one of the more complete teams in the NFL, and I absolutely love their defense. And Stafford's playing MVP ball as he is leading the NFL in passing touchdowns, even at the young age of 37 years old. And then in at number 1, it wasn't pretty, but they're the defending world champs. And I know that they do have the Lions this week, and if you could bookend this week with beating the Packers and beating the Lions, that's a heck of a performance. The Eagles have some chemistry issues, absolutely, but Jalen Phillips is added into the fold. He was awesome for them in that debut for the Eagles. They're 7-2. So you just won a Super Bowl this year. It's open and you're 7-2. I'll put you in at number one. I think you could order Eagles, Rams, Seahawks 1, 2, and 3 in any way you want. But I order them Patriots in at number 5, Colts in at number 4, Seahawks in at number 3, Rams in at number 2, and the Eagles in at number 1. Those are my top 5 teams in the NFL entering this week. Samter, speak now, forever hold your peace.
There are 3 teams that are 8-2. You have 2 of them in your top 5, but not the 8-2 Broncos. What's the deal with that?
It's the offense. I don't like what I'm seeing out of this offense. Like, the Patriots played some easy opponents, right? And the Broncos played some easy opponents. I know that the Broncos, in terms of their good wins this year, they beat the Eagles. Outside of that, who they really beat? They beat Tennessee. They beat the Bengals. They beat the Jets. They beat the Giants. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Texans. They beat the Raiders. I know you can only play on who's on your schedule, but I put the Pats in front of the Broncos because the Pats beat the Bucks and the Pats beat the Bills. I think those are two phenomenal wins. Obviously, the Eagles are on par with that, and they had the comeback to do so, but the offense as of late, up against the Texans and the Raiders, two teams that are not that good. The Texans could be solid at the end of the season. The Raiders stink, and you scored 18 points and you scored 10 points. So the defense is sensational with the Denver Broncos, but the offense is keeping them out of the top 5 for me.
All right, I know they're only 5-4, but they are the 3-time defending AFC champions, and they've won 5 of 7. What about the Chiefs?
Well, they just lost to the Bills, then they were on a bye. They're coming out of the bye. They're going to play the Broncos. Andy Reid's unbelievable coming out of the bye, but I got to start seeing them win some more games. I know we're resting what they've done in the past. It would not shock me whatsoever they get to the Super Bowl, but this is week by week, and they were off last week, and they were coming off a bye. They don't have enough wins to get in the top 5 right now.
All right, now they are 4-5, but 3 straight wins for the Ravens and just a game back of the Steelers in the North.
They're trending to be the AFC North champion. I'm not saying they definitely will, but they're trending to be that AFC North champ. There's a difference in being the AFC North champ, and then in a year I think the NFC is better than the AFC, than a top 5 team in the NFL. I got to see more from the Baltimore Ravens, but they are moving in that trajectory where you're starting to look at them and they're rising. They're not there yet, but they're rising, so they need some more weeks to rise.
All right, let's look in the NFC. We got the Detroit Lions.
You know, the Lions and the Packers, they're both very inconsistent. Where I know what the Packers can be this year, and I know what the Lions can be this year. But the Lions, they lose to Minnesota, then they blow out the Commanders, where Dan Campbell needs to call plays, and the Commanders don't even have Jaden Daniels at quarterback. And prior to that, all right, they lose to Kansas City and they beat Tampa Bay. And both those teams are really good teams. I need to see what they're going to look like up against the Eagles. Like, the Lions have a good chance to get back into the top 5, but Campbell taking over the plays is a little befuddling to me, but it worked. Now let's see. It's one thing to do it up against Commanders. Now let's see what you could do up against that Philadelphia defense that did shut down the Green Bay Packers offense, a team, by the way, that you lost to 27-13 earlier in the season. So the Lions, I think they could go to the Super Bowl this year, but I got to see some more consistency in their last 4 games. They are 2-2.
All right, and last one. I know they lost to the Dolphins, but they do have the reigning MVP. What about Josh Allen and the Bills?
I think that team has some locker room issues right now, where Josh Allen is annoyed because they don't have enough weapons right now. They've lost to Miami. They lost to New England. They lost to Atlanta. I know that they beat the Chiefs, but that's another team that's just been too inconsistent. You know, they are 2-3. 2-3 in their last 5 games, but they have a chance. Just get the Lions to get back in the top 5 if they, you know, could, if they beat the Eagles this weekend. The Bills could do the same with a tough team coming to town in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So once again, my top 5 teams in the NFL and college football this week. For college, Georgia, Bama, A&M, Ohio State, Indiana, and the NFL, Pats, Colts, Seahawks, Rams, and Eagles. Let's get an update in. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. You know, sometimes I get questions from people, and I'm just like, do you even listen to the show? It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. There's a YouTube commenter that I have no problems with the guy. Angel. He says, are you not allowed to cover the controversies of other talk show hosts? The controversies with Stephen A. and an ex-ESPN reporter. Like, I've been down this road with people before, Angel. And you, in particular. You, like, preface the question in a way. Well, are you not allowed to talk about... When have I never not been allowed to talk about something on the freaking Zach Gelb show that I wanted to talk about. When? I've been here at this network since 2018. I've always talked about anything that I've wanted to talk about. But like, I'm just curious here. I'm just asking. Why would I talk about Michelle Beadle, right, who got fired? Nothing against Michelle Beadle and Cody Decker. I hung out with Cody in Vegas 2 years ago. Really nice guy. But, and we did our shows next to one another. Why would I comment on Michelle Beadle and Cody Decker launching a podcast and Michelle Beadle and Cody Decker got fired and replaced at Sirius because of Stephen A. Smith than saying something negative about Stephen A. Smith? Like, why? But what's in it for me? And why do I give a flying flip? Like, why would I care? So Michelle Beadle, right, is launching this podcast. So she takes shots at Stephen A. Smith. She doesn't like Stephen A. Smith. That's fine. Like who you want. Do your job that you want. But it's to get clicks so people listen to the podcast. But like, well, what's the big deal here? And I actually thought it was a little bit weird of Michelle Beadle when she said some of the lines of like, oh, I don't wish for people's downfall, but I wish for the demise of Stephen A. Smith. Some along the lines of that. I like Stephen A. Smith. I do. Stephen A. Smith came to my college, Temple University. He gave a talk to the students. I was interested in it. He did an interview with me beforehand. I've talked to him then since. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we're buddy-buddy. And right, if you walked up to be like, hey, do you remember Zach Gelb? But like, I've had him on the show before. I have nothing against Stephen A. Smith. I think Stephen A. Smith is good for the business because he makes a lot of money. And I think a lot of people are jealous of Stephen A. Smith. Michelle Beadle and Cody Decker included. Which is fine. But what is really in it for me, other than the 2 minutes that I just gave you on talking about it, and why would it go through your brain? This is nothing against Angel. I'm just asking anyone that would preface the question this way. Why would you be like, oh, are you not allowed to comment on Stephen A. Smith and Michelle Beadle? Yeah, let me tell you, there's a lot going on around here. What is going to happen is that I'm going to get a call from David Mayernick and Ryan Hurley, and they're going to tell me, hey, Zach, you know what? There's a real thought on our mind right now. Michelle Beadle said something about Stephen A. Smith, a company that we work for that have no partnership anymore with Stephen A. Smith and no affiliation with Michelle Beadle. You can't comment on it. Like, what? So just ask the question next time. What are your thoughts on Stephen A. Smith and Michelle Beadle and their little kerfuffle or whatever's going on with this solitaire app and the fugaziness of it? Right? Like, ask that instead of, are you not allowed to cover the controversies of other talk show hosts, the controversies with Stephen A. and ex-ESPN reporters? Hey, it just like comes off as you're saying that like you think you know something that I'm told I'm not allowed to talk about it. And then I just talked about it. I don't get an edict like that from management. Management, trust me to do the show. I've never been called into a manager's office. I'm not saying anything on other places. I've never been called in a manager's office and been told, hey, don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. Never happened. Never happened to me. Sure, it's happened in other places. Not with me. So, yes, that was, I apologize to the listening audience. On a Wednesday, on November 12th, in the year of 2025, you know what, Samter, shame on you. You're doing a terrible job. Stu, shame on you. You're doing a terrible job. But you know what? Shame on me. I'm doing a horrible job because we waited until Wednesday to talk about Michelle Beadle against Stephen A. Smith. You know what? I should just walk out of the studio right now and I should quit. I should. Just walk out and quit. Because, you know, God forbid I didn't talk about Michelle Beadle and Stephen A. Smith and what is clearly just trying to get clicks. So, there you go. That's the way that I'll address that question. Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about it. Am I allowed to talk about Shador Sanders here, Stu? Did management call and say, hey, don't talk about Shador Sanders today because we're trying to push... this will actually get thrown into like a TikTok somewhere. Because we're trying to push Dylan Gabriel and only Dylan Gabriel, and there's a sabotage against Shador Sanders, and the league doesn't want him to play. They just want to make money off Shador, right? Mayernick called you before the show, and he said, hey, I saw at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time, Zach's asking a question, are the Browns ever going to play Shador? Mayernick got on the phone and said, hey, we can't talk about that, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, yep. My God. Here is Mary Kate Cabot, by the way, a 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Baskin and Phelps, talking about Deshaun Watson. And we just saw Joe Burrow's 21-day practice window get open up. Is there a possibility still for Deshaun Watson at some point this
season? It's a big mystery, but I do expect them to open the practice window at some point this season, unless something unforeseen happens with some of his medical exams or something like that, or any kind of a setback in practice or whatever. And he's not practicing with the team right now. He's only working out on his own. But I do expect them to open his practice window, and I could see it happening within the next 2 weeks. Don't know if it's going to be next week as they get ready to head out to Vegas or if it will be the week after. But I do think that it's going to open at some point over the next couple of weeks.
And then also, let's hear Mary Kay Cabot. Could Deshaun actually play this year? It's one thing to open up the window, but can he actually play this year?
Don't know. I think that is all predicated on how he looks in those practices. But I think there is some sentiment. I think there is some curiosity, perhaps, to see what he can do and what he does have left in the tank. And I'll tell you, I mean, even Bill Musgrave told us this, that he's just working out feverishly, doing box jumping and all kinds of things behind the scenes. And he seems to believe that he's got plenty left in the tank. And who knows what he has left after a fractured shoulder surgery and two Achilles surgeries. It's hard to come back from those things. But he certainly, apparently, looks really good in his workouts.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Deshaun Watson is going to play this year for the Cleveland Browns. I think there is a better chance that Deshaun Watson starts a game for the Cleveland Browns this year than Shedeur Sanders. The only way that Shedeur will play in front of Deshaun Watson is if before they open up that window, Dylan Gabriel gets hurt, and then Shedeur has to start the following week. But in terms of starting a game, let me say, not just playing, starting a game. Forget playing. Starting only. I think there's a better chance that Deshaun Watson starts a game this year for the Cleveland Browns than Shedeur Sanders. And I'll just ask the question, why? Don't tell me money. The owner's already said what he said about Deshaun Watson, him being the franchise quarterback, that ship has sailed. I've seen enough of Dylan Gabriel. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been like the worst quarterback ever. He's just not a franchise quarterback. Why not just try out Shedeur Sanders? Why not give him a start a few weeks from now? But it feels like each and every week, Kevin Stefanski sits there and says, hey, we're sticking with Dylan Gabriel. We're sticking with DJ. Take a break. When we come on back, Brian Hoyer, former NFL quarterback, is going to join us on the other side. Brian Hoyer will join us on the Zach Gelb Show coming up in a matter of moments.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.